produced by Zion Lutheran, Hiawatha, Iowa. Reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. And St. Luke writes, "The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapters 1 and 2. And St. John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the Holy Gospel, if you are able. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. St. John writes, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld.' Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The principal focus of our gospel text for today and throughout the whole Easter season is, of course, Jesus' resurrection. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, St. John records two appearances of our Lord. And the first is witnessed by the disciples, but Thomas is not with them. Now, the second time it is witnessed by the disciples again, but this time Thomas, even though a skeptic, is present among them. Now, Thomas had missed the first appearance of our risen Lord and doubted that the resurrection had, in fact, occurred. You see, he wanted God to satisfy him with proof that Jesus had risen from the dead. It is interesting to note that though Jesus' body is now glorified, it still contains scars on his hands, his feet, and his side. And these scars on his glorified body serve to remind us of another event, Jesus' crucifixion. You see, in God's perfect plan of salvation, his plan for our salvation, the crucifixion and the resurrection go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. So our risen Lord retains his wounds in his glorified body to graciously remind us that he did indeed suffer and die in our place. That his humiliation, as well as his exaltation, was a prominent, deliberate action for our salvation. Now, our gospel text begins with our risen Lord proclaiming, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from many, it is withheld. As the Father has sent me. We clearly see that God the Father deliberately sent Jesus to be the agent of our salvation, to proclaim God's love and forgiveness to a hurting and dying world, to concretely show God's love by taking our place and suffering the punishment that we deserved, and in doing so, paying the consequences, the required penalty for our sins to win God's forgiveness for everyone. God's word tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And then Jesus says, even so, I am sending you. I am sending you. Allowing Scripture to interpret Scripture, we are reminded of Jesus' great commission to us. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And today, just as Jesus once sent his disciples, Jesus now sends all of his followers into the world to proclaim the good news of God's love and forgiveness. Today, as his baptized child, God sends you. How does that influence your day-to-day life? Now, another principal focus of our gospel text is the bestowal of the office of the keys or holy absolution upon the church. Jesus proclaims, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And once again, allowing Scripture to interpret Scripture, St. Matthew also reports that Jesus clearly proclaimed, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is, God gives to his church the power to specifically forgive and retain sins. And this gift is further strengthened by another gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today, God himself, through the water, coupled with God's word in holy baptism, literally resides in each one of you, in every individual Christian. And that's really nothing short of a miracle. So with this being true, how does it influence your day-to-day life? Well, if your answer to the questions about you being the one that Jesus sends to proclaim God's love and forgiveness to a dying and hurting world, and that God's gift of the Holy Spirit is available to all, if your answer is that sometimes it doesn't really influence me that much, I might even make it through a weekday without thinking about it at all. Well, if that is you, as it is me at times, could it be because we're just a bit like Thomas? We're a little skeptical and we get caught up in everything that is going on around us. I mean, here, think about it. Thomas has been with Jesus for 3 years. He was an eyewitness of Jesus preaching. He has seen him feed thousands of people, out of literally nothing. He has seen the lame walk. He has seen the blind healed to see. He has even seen the dead risen to life again. He has seen all this. But when he needs God the most, when he thought all was lost, Jesus was dead, he thought. God's actions for him still didn't seem to inform his day-to-day life. And that is because Thomas, being the skeptic and the doubter he was, Thomas was merely an observer rather than a participant in God's love and forgiveness. You see, he didn't internalize the gifts that God was offering to him. You see, the point is, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is intended and designed for everyone of all time. There is no one who is excluded. But the good news of Jesus Christ doesn't really benefit us or inform our day-to-day lives until we internalize it. The gifts that God is offering to us, until we make them our own. And just as the Holy Spirit led Thomas to proclaim, "My God and my Lord," so does the Holy Spirit lead us in our day-to-day lives. By the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, the Lord becomes our Lord and the Savior becomes your Savior. In order for you to truly benefit from Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, by the power of the Holy Spirit working through God's word and sacraments, his crucifixion and his resurrection have to become an internalized part of your day-to-day life. Because it is only then, when you have truly internalized Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you move from being an observer to being a participant in God's love and forgiveness. It is only then that God's forgiveness, life, and salvation become fundamental parts of your day-to-day life. We believe, teach, and confess that Jesus had to, that he did indeed, in fact, take our place and suffer and die our death to pay the consequences of our sins. He took our place, suffered and died on the cross to pay what God required as a penalty for our sins. And today, your sins are marked, paid in full. But even more important, I had a seminary professor that used to say, as the crucifixion was critical, that's where our sins were paid for. But think about it, any one of us could be crucified. It could happen to us. But God the Father did something amazing. We also believe, teach, and confess that Jesus rose again on the third day, having defeated death once and for all. That is something no one else has ever done, because only Jesus, God's beloved Son, can do that. And it proves that God the Father has accepted the sacrifice of his Son for our sins, and that Jesus truly is our risen Lord and Savior. And today we walk holy and blameless because of Jesus Christ alone before God the Father. You see, God is doing everything that he possibly can to get us to turn from the death of our sins to the forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus won for us through his crucifixion and his resurrection. God is doing everything he can to get us to turn from our sins back to the love that he has for us, to move from being merely observers to being participants in his love and forgiveness, so clearly shown to us in the suffering, death, and resurrection of his dearly beloved Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV, copyright 2001, by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.